Hello, this is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect, and today we are sitting down with John Sander, who is the Vice President of Research and Development at Lubrication Engineers. In 1989, John began his career at Lubrication Engineers, where he is responsible for a variety of lubricant quality, formulation, and testing activities. Today we're going to speak with John about synthetic versus mineral lubricants. Hi, John, how are you doing today?
Hi, Paige. I'm doing wonderful. How about you?
Great, thanks. So we're going to dive right in. So what are the four principal types of finished lubricants that are produced today?
Well, so the four principal types, in my way of thinking, are engine oils. We've got also industrial lubricants. So I would say those would be like cutting fluids and hydraulic fluids and gear oils. And then we've got grease. And then maybe what I'd throw into that last group would be the incidental food contact or food grade lubricants.
So then how do you decide if an application needs mineral or synthetic based oil?
Okay, that's a good question. And actually kind of maybe going back to perhaps a step above the question that you just asked about the types of lubricants, I kind of went more down the path of application type. But above that, one might think, well, how are lubricants kind of laid out and described? And one of the things is oftentimes based upon the base stock. And a lot of times they'll call them either synthetic or mineral oil base stocks. Below that, you might also have vegetable oils that would exist out there. I call that more of a niche. And those might be used in biodegradable types of products. But anyway, oftentimes the lubricant is described by its base fluid type, so which is what you're alluding to when you're describing what's the difference between a mineral oil and a synthetic. The interesting thing is both of those are kind of a very generalized term for what those of us that are actual lubricant formulators would consider to be a much more broad ranging type of products. So on mineral oils, a lot of times we just think of oil as oil, right? But for us formulators, there's naphthenic oils, there's paraffinic oils, and then there's varying different levels of what they call hydro-treating and hydro-cracking and those types of things that even go to another level on the oil scale. And in fact, very highly treated ones are even considered synthetic. So that's a nice segue over to what is a synthetic. A lot of people consider synthetic one thing. Well, there's mineral oil and then there's synthetic. Well, there's actually a wide variety of synthetics. The most common type that most of us are familiar with are what are used in engine oils. And that's because most of us drive. So we're very familiar with those. And the type that are used typically in there are, one type is the really highly refined mineral oil that I just described. There's a little bit of a story behind how those got to be considered synthetic, and I think we'll have a good chance to talk about those a little later. I'll leave that for later. But as far as there's those, then there's what they call polyalpha olefins, and those are commonly used in engine oils. When we start spreading this out, there's even many other types. There's types called esters, there's silicone fluids, there's polyglycols. So you can see, for me, when somebody calls something, they say, well, that's one of the most common questions I get when they find out I'm a lubricant formulator. Well, should I be using a mineral oil or a synthetic? And it gets under my skin because it's like an English teacher if you didn't put a period at the end of a sentence, because to me, I know that the term synthetic is way oversimplified. It's a very, very broad term. So typically, they are wanting to know that for an engine oil. And so when you get to engine oils, these days, a lot of the requirements are actually starting to require almost that these formulations be synthetic.
So then is there a difference between additive selection for formulations using mineral oils or synthetic base oils?
There absolutely can be a difference. I mean, you can use a lot of the same additives in both, but there can be solubility challenges with certain additives that might be soluble in a mineral oil but aren't necessarily soluble in one of the various different types of synthetics. I'm going to talk about actually comparing the regular mineral oil to the PAO one, which most people consider to be the synthetic. Those PAOs are basically built, I kind of like to use what I call my Lego analogy. So if you were to try to to explain what the difference is between mineral oil and how it works and how it's formed and how a PAO or actually even many of the other synthetics are formed, think about these Legos. If somebody brought you this big clump of Legos all stuck together, and then you had to pull them apart and then put them together in little strands the way you liked them organized. That would be like the mineral oil. Think of crude oil. Crude oil is a very complex mixture of all kinds of stuff, and they run it through a separation process called refining to separate it all apart into its various different boiling point sections. That synthetic-based stocks that we're talking about, they would be the opposite. So imagine you have one of those little tiny Lego bricks, and now you start gluing together little bricks and forming them exactly the way you want them. So you're starting with something small and building something large. That's what the synthetic is. So the mineral oil, when you get done, is still somewhat of a mixture. And so sometimes it'll have some natural things in them that enhance solubility, or perhaps even have a little bit of, it's interesting because a lot of times in nature, or with us on food, we talk about synthetic being bad and natural being good. With lubricants, they tend to go, well, natural is bad and synthetic is good. But just like in these same things that we're talking about with these vitamins that we eat, some of those natural existing things that remain behind in the mineral oil can be beneficial in a formula, whereas you may be missing those in the synthetic. But there are some things that when you build the synthetic exactly the way you want it, you remove some things that would be impurities that may actually cause shorter lifespan or perhaps things that would break down easier. So it's hard to say immediately which one's easier and which one's better, but you can overcome some of those challenges by additive selection. And so like I said, but I started this whole conversation and then detoured dramatically, but in any case, going back to that additive selection, there may be additives we also need to use to enhance a mineral oil that you wouldn't need to use in the synthetic. Oxidation inhibitors, for example. Most of your synthetics have very, very good oxidation resistance, so you wouldn't need to maybe use as much antioxidant as you would use in a mineral oil to protect it from oxidation. So additive selection can vary depending on those, and oftentimes as formulators, we either have to know some of those things or there's a lot of trial and error in the laboratory just to make sure what is synergistic with the base stock that you choose, mineral oil or synthetic.
All right, awesome. So then how does the public's perception of synthetic and material or mineral lubricants play a role?
I was looking forward to this question. I mentioned earlier that I was going to kind of come back to where there could have been maybe some controversy. So it was interesting because most people automatically think that a synthetic is better. And I kind of mentioned that already a little bit with my vitamin and analogy that I used before, considering that there's more of a natural feel, if you will. I admit many of these oils are very, very high processed today and almost reaching that level of synthetic. So that is where there's a perception. So I'm going to maybe differentiate a little bit between the perception of the end users and also the perception of us in the industry. And it's kind of an interesting thing that occurred. So go back about 12 to 15 years ago, there were a couple companies that were formulating against each other, and they had actually chosen different ingredients and were having an argument about what was considered synthetic. One of those was Mobil, the other one was Castrol. Castrol was using more of the very, very highly refined mineral oils, where Mobil was using the PAO synthetics. Going back to my Lego description, the mineral oils were separated and therefore in the chemistry world not considered synthetic. They were considered a separation, whereas the PAOs were those little bricks that were put together, so they were synthetically built. So they wanted to argue, well, that the castor oil product was not synthetic. In the end, it got taken to basically the National Bureau of Advertising. So it was advertising court who actually sided with castor oil and decided that these very highly refined mineral oils were so processed that they truly are now synthetic. So some of what we see today is actually mineral oil. It's just very, very highly refined mineral oil in these products that are being sold as synthetics. And I say there's a differentiation between how formulators might look at that and how an end user might look at it. As formulators have now accepted the idea that from an advertising standpoint, those are considered synthetics, so we now use them and consider them synthetics. But as a chemistry professional, it's hard to swallow that to some extent. So anyway, there is that little bit of controversy, but in general, the public image is that synthetics are better than mineral oils. I would like to argue that there are certain applications where that's not exactly true. Turbine oils, for example, there's a lot of those naturally occurring things in there that enhance solubility, and turbine oils actually have a very small amount of additive in them, but they're a very large sump, and as the oil begins to degrade, there's a lot of breakdown products that start to form in the oil. That natural oil manages and handles those breakdown products better than some of the higher refined oils that are on the verge of being synthetics. Now, going back to kind of the additive question, is it possible to formulate a synthetic lubricant and perhaps put something in that could, as an additive, that might be able to help enhance some of those properties? Absolutely. So as formulators, we've got a lot of tools available to us. My point in saying all this is sometimes it's probably not that important for the end user to worry about synthetic versus mineral oil as much as it is to worry about what are the specifications that are claimed, what's the test data look like that the company had to use in order to qualify this lubricant for use in a certain application, and what kind of support do they provide you so that you feel comfortable that they are actually taking those things into account when they formulated the lubricant. You can formulate a poor synthetic lubricant that's not going to perform as well as a very well formulated synthetic. But that on the corollary is true too. You could also formulate a very, very high performing synthetic, probably going to be more expensive. And most people have seen that the synthetics typically tend to be more expensive than the mineral oils. And that is truly due to the cost of the raw materials and that it does actually require more processing typically to build the synthetic base fluids that are used in these formulations.
Okay, awesome. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed sitting down and chatting with you a little bit.
You're absolutely welcome.